Hey everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt. I just wanted to pre-warn you on this audio file for the show on the American Christian Network, which took place on July 30th of 2016. There were some technical issues in the radio station studio. For some reason, all of their recorded shows from today's date are all very scratchy and poor audio quality. It wasn't on my end. It's on their end. They were trying to track down a solution and find out what the cause of that is. And it didn't go out over the air this way. It sounded clear and fine, good quality going over the air. But for some reason, in the recording itself, there were some problems. But I just wanted to give you some advance warning. It's rough to listen to, but this is the only copy that we have. Unfortunately, there is no way to repair it. But we are aware of it. The station management and the producer and the engineers are trying to get that fixed. So unfortunately, that makes for a very poor audio quality for this particular show. But the content is good. I hope you enjoy it. And it's something that you can endure and make it through and still appreciate the content of the show. So with that, I will turn this over to the Saturday American Christian Network Radio Free Redoubt show for Saturday, the 30th of July, 2016.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting live from the heart of free territory and the free zones inside the American Redoubt. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your prayers and your support. Hopefully we're bringing you truth and encouragement, and hopefully we are helping to equip you for the challenges that lay ahead for us. This is the middle of summer and absolutely beautiful. I know some of you guys are tuned in out on the water, in the backyard, in the campground. This is just the American Redoubt. Mrs. Schmidt and I, we took the family out this week, out on the water. We just have a little inflatable raft. We're floating down the river. Went over to the Coeur d'Alene River. It is so peaceful and serene and one of those times. And we have this little portable radio that we're tuned into, and we're listening, scrolling through the bands, and this traffic report comes out. It's Spokane, backed up, bumper-to-bumper traffic through the S-curves on I-90, you know, and it's hot and sweltering, and people are sitting in traffic, and we're floating down the river, and we're just smiling to ourselves, listening to this traffic report. It was just a great moment. But anyway, you guys be safe out there. Enjoy this. You've got to take a break sometimes. You got to step back. If you're in the fight for liberty and Americanism, for all the right things, sometimes you got to recharge your batteries. That was a great moment for that. I just wanted to share that with you. And I wanted to remind you guys, sometimes you got to just step out of it for a little bit. The problem is that in our country, we're in the situation we are because people step out of it and never step back in. And you've got to be engaged. Got to be engaged. Now, welcome to our listeners on the new 96.5 FM in the Spokane area. You got an option between 106.5 and 96.5, depending on where you're located, whichever one's going to be stronger. Let us know, and let the folks know at ACN. Give them an email, letting them know how they're coming across. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news, so let's get to that The news is now at Radio Free Readout, brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 10-book series, 299 Days, about the collapse and the rebuilding with audiobooks out. Go to 299days.com to learn more. I'm just getting these news flashes coming in, and just saddens me, the thought, just the horror of this. There was a balloon accident, a hot air balloon in Texas, just is going on right now. This is what flashed in front of me on my app. 16 people in a hot air balloon just a little while ago in Texas, and it caught on fire somehow and plummeted. All 16 now dead. Tragic. How quickly your life can change in an instant. So always be ready to meet eternity. You're just a heartbeat away from it. Something to keep in mind. Let's go to international news. From Alerts USA, Islamists are continuing to terrorize Europe, and Al-Qaeda now is calling for kidnapping Westerners. And there's new threats for London, D.C., and New York City as ISIS is threatening to begin carrying out attacks with a special emphasis on very key cities, especially capital cities. Alerts USA had reports of explosions at or near Germany's federal immigration office in Nuremberg. ISIS, they've released new images via social media threatening attacks in London, D.C., and New York City. France and the U.K. are warning churches to increase security following the Normandy attack. And that's something that our churches, the more astute and situationally aware churches, are already doing this. I know of several churches that have very robust security measures in place, because this is a very real threat. And just this week, a church was stormed by some ISIS terrorists who, there's mixed reports whether they beheaded or just cut the throat of the pastor there, the priest at this church, and forced one of the men from the congregation to hold the camera and film it. These are the sickest, animalistic, they just need to be scraped. I don't know what else to say about that. It's just we need to start acting like we're at war. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Ansbach, Germany as well, that attack there last week with explosions at a music festival. The source of the explosion was a bomb carried in a backpack by a Syrian asylum seeker. And already they're starting to change. On the beaches, no bags. No bags allowed on the beaches. Strict security measures now for something as simple as going to the beach. So they're altering, they're losing their freedom, they're losing their liberty. But boy, they sure got immigrants, so they should feel good about themselves. How loving and caring they are to blow their borders wide open and let everyone in. And in the process, you have no freedom because you cannot travel with a backpack. And certain places, you can take it, but you're subject to invasive searches now. Goodbye, freedom and your lifestyle, all sacrificed at the altar of multiculturalism. Turkey has canceled the passports of almost 50,000 people following the coup attempts. So this, what is increasingly appearing as a staged coup, or at least they had knowledge of it and allowed it to happen so that they could clench down on the last bit of freedom that was left in Turkey. This autocratic president, Erdogan, he's pulling out all the stops. They are now 50,000 people. You no go. You cannot leave. You will stay here so we can continue the purge and looking for dissidents. Now, this originally started as, take a note. Take notes. Take mental notes of this, patriots. Looking for an excuse to finally grab the power that he hasn't been able to do, and now he's justified in doing it because of this failed coup. What many analysts are saying, this very likely was even a staged coup so that they could justify the last bit of control and power that they needed and wanted and have been craving. So now they are imprisoning people, and the prisoners are being tortured, sexually abused, and mistreated. Amnesty International has been trying to get access to this, but they're basically Turkey saying, you mind your own business. We'll handle our own affairs. We'll abuse the people how we want to. Most of these people are not even affiliated with the coup, but they have they're dissidents. They have messages and messaging and thoughts, bad thoughts, that could lead somebody to be so disenfranchised with the current government that they could rise up. So if you are a dissident voice at all, something must be done with you. They even arrested 60 children for treason. Children from ages of, what was it, like 12 or 13 years old to 16, 17 years old. School children, because during the coup attempt, these kids were made to dress in camouflage and hold empty guns without magazines. And so now all the children are being rounded up as traitors. Tens of thousands of people. Police, judges, teachers, educators, hospital workers, media, they're shutting down news sources, journalists. They're going after all. This is like the great Turkish purge, what's happening right now. So when a tyrannous regime, a heavy-handed autocratic regime, wants power, craves power, that it can't quite justify in the public's eye, watch for something. This is what you call a false flag. When a situation is created, thereby justifying your heavy-handed actions, where under any other circumstance would be completely unacceptable. And even though the international community is pressuring Erdogan to use restraint, he's telling them to buzz off. We'll handle this our own way. Someone else that's snubbing their nose at us, again, Russia, has a secret sub-fleet now that is being deemed as unstoppable. NATO is even stating NATO doesn't even stand a chance against this system. The deadly group of stealthy underwater weapons are currently patrolling the world and have already reportedly breached UK waters. Having approached the Royal Navy's base in Faslane, Scotland, Russia is stepping up its secret submarine program to Cold War levels, and experts warn NATO members they no longer have the defenses to stop the aquatic death machines. So, part of our judgment? Quite possibly. Enemies that we cannot stand up against. We'll be right back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Let's take a little trip back to April of 1775. Most of us remember the midnight ride of Paul Revere from Boston to Lexington Green, but do you recall exactly where his destination was? Paul Revere rode to the parsonage of Pastor Jonas Clark to warn John Hancock and Samuel Adams that the British were coming to arrest them. It was the men of the Lexington Church who answered the bell as minutemen the next morning and routed the British. The Minuteman commander, Colonel Parker, was actually Deacon Parker from the church. In reality, local pastors like Jonas Clark and John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg and others played a key role in turning the hearts of the colonists to liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And whom the Son, Jesus, has set free, he is free indeed. Oh, that our pulpits today would bring God's word to bear on the issues we face in America. This has been your Patriot Moment.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish.
Radio Free Readout.
This is the voice of the American Readout and the voice of resistance against all that sets itself against Americanism and our heritage and our values. We are on the watchtower, calling out the adversary's plans and intentions and passing those along to you and hopefully preparing you for the challenges ahead. This is segment two of Radio Free Readout, which is brought to you by Works Holsters. Works Kydex custom-made holsters made right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Go to works.com to learn more, and don't forget to use the coupon code RFR. And I spell works, WERKZ.com. Continuing on with the news, because there's a lot going on there and things that we should probably be paying very close attention to. The continuing saga of the case of the failed, yet again, another case of the failure of communism. Let's go to Venezuela. But they have a new decree now, and that is to force farm work for citizens. A new decree by Venezuela's government could make its citizens work on farms to tackle the country's severe food shortages. And this will be the new segment of the news called the Arbeit macht frei segment of the news. Work will set you free. So the more work you do, the more free you will be. That's, of course, in the mind's eye of socialists and communists. They want to put people to work in the farms, which is effectively amounts to forced labor, according to Amnesty International, which derided the decree as unlawful. Well, nothing's unlawful in the mind of a communist as long as they can justify it. Besides that, how can you be free if you don't work on a government-owned farm to pay for the food shortages, which there are only food shortages because they are controlling and manipulating the food supply? That's why they have hundreds of thousands of people sneaking across the border to Colombia to try to get food that they cannot get. People are weeping. They walk into a store and they see shelves loaded with food, and they begin weeping. I mentioned this last week. Capitalism or communism is when people stand and wait for their food, and capitalism is when your food waits for you. So now they've got people out there working for their groceries. In America, they're just working for the weekend. Let's move on down here. There was something. Oh, you guys remember the term that I'm going to steal from Chris Ann Hall. Remember, there is no presidential messiah. And this week in the news has just been making me shake my head. I have not followed the presidential races very closely at all because I am absolutely convinced. I am aware and I know that there is no solution for the United States in Washington, D.C. So It is interesting, though, very enlightening to watch the mainstream slipstream media cover this circus. Obama says this deeply pessimistic vision of America at the GOP convention is not the America I know. I'm not sure which America he knows, because he cannot relate. I cannot think of a demographic group in America that he could say that he knows. He doesn't fit anywhere. But just the globalist elite, communist crowd is the only America that he knows anyway. So naturally, this would not make sense to him. But look at this, how they report. There's CNN. All right, the what we want to call the Clinton News Network, the Communist News Network. It used to be called Cable News Network. Somehow it's morphed. But listen to how they cover each of the candidates as it was announced that they would be the chosen party's candidate for their party. When they reported Hillary this week, this is the same announcement from the same organization, CNN. For Hillary, it's Hillary Clinton makes history accepting Democratic nomination with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise. Now, CNN reporting that Trump was chosen. Donald Trump, the billionaire businessman whose outsider campaign has both galvanized millions of voters and divided the Republican Party, is the 2016 GOP presidential nominee. Period. Quite a different presentation, wouldn't you say? It even affected the way I read it. Did you notice that? It makes you read it in your mind differently, the way it's written. Oh, they want her to be in there so badly. Cannot happen. Cannot afford that type of blunder. But hey, when you know we're in state, when people say, oh, I just couldn't imagine Hillary, that would be it, over the top for me. Are you serious? You realize that Obama, a Muslim communist, in my humble opinion, was voted in by this depraved electorate twice. So, but now it's going to be bad if Hillary gets in? Is she just going to continue on with the same agenda? It'll be status quo. It's going to continue that slow grinding toward the cliff. Trump, on the other hand, this is my personal assessment, or this is what I suspect could happen, is that if Trump gets in, this country will blow up. If the hostilities and the hatred of those protesting his speeches are any indicator as far as the reaction of this country stirred up by the communists on mission would be if he became president. I covered that a couple weeks ago too. We'll have to just observe and pray and get our own stuff in order. Focus locally. That's where it's going to count. Federal prosecutors say they will not pursue a criminal case against two Idaho sheriff's deputies who shot and killed an armed rancher, coming the same day that the state attorney general decided not to file charges. If you guys remember, last fall, there was a situation where a southern Idaho rancher, one of his bulls got loose or got out on the highway. A car hits the bull. The bull does not die. Emergency responders come to assist those that were trapped in the car or injured in the car. I said, you need to get down here right now because these deputies are trying to do something with your bull, which is very agitated and in the highway. So the rancher grabs his rifle, runs down there to the highway, and the deputies had already pumped this bull full of holes, shooting it, which made it more agitated. So the rancher steps forward with his rifle, finger on the trigger, ready to put the bull down, and the deputies are yelling something at him and grabbed him by the shoulder, according to witness reports, some witness reports, and this is conflicting witness information. So apparently it's turning or spinning the rancher, according to the family members that were there, and the rifle goes off. The deputies jump back and open up on the rancher and kill him. Only he doesn't die right away. They drop him on the pavement as he's laying there bleeding out. They called for an ambulance and rendered no assistance at all. Basically, he just bled out there, died. So is there wrongdoing here? We don't know. I was not there, which is probably a good thing because whoever was there, all of their stories conflict. See, just because somebody was there is not helpful because you can have 10 people all watch a car accident and you're going to get 12 different testimonies. So, but of those that are there, and their cameras were not turned off, one of them, the memory's full. The other one, he didn't turn it on because it was a traffic accident. There's, you know, somebody hit a bull. There's no reason to start recording. So I'm sure that's going to change that department's policies from now on. But, so there's no video. So the prosecutors decide they're not going to press any criminal charges against this rancher. The many witnesses are saying this, they gunned him down in the middle of the road, unprovoked. And they murdered him. So because of this conflicting information, the prosecutors are saying they are not going to press charges. Okay, maybe that's the right decision. Maybe it's not the right decision. I don't know. They do have prosecutory, not precedence, discretion. The prosecutor has discretion as far as whether or not there's sufficient evidence to pursue a case if there's reason to believe beyond reasonable doubt that this person has committed a crime. But they're saying, this is what caught my attention. And none of these news reports are saying this, but this is what first came out, and I caught this. A listener who's been tracking this sent this to me. It says, U.S. Attorney Wendy Olson said Friday that November 1st death of Jack Yantis was a tragedy, but the evidence doesn't show the deputies intended to break the law. She says her office notified Yantis' family of the decision. Hold on a minute. The reason why they are not pursuing charges is because the evidence doesn't show the deputies intended to break the law. This tells me that the law was broken, but they didn't intend to, so we're not going to press charges. Are we starting to see a pattern here with the federal government? And the measure that they use for whether or not to press charges against officials, officers, or otherwise agents of government entities? Are they using the same standard for citizens? Could we get away with that? To say, we're not going to bring any charges against you, Joe Citizen, because all of our evidence shows you didn't intend to break the law. If this is the standard, they need to let a bunch of people out of prison. Probably most all of the cases of manslaughter. This is, or gross negligence. This is mind-boggling. This is exactly what they did with Clinton. The FBI, an investigative agency, will not be recommending prosecution. So, we don't have your recommendation. We won't prosecute. What's going on here? Anybody ever heard of a grand jury? If you're not sure, and look, that's a lot of weight to have on your shoulders. That's a serious decision whether or not to pursue prosecuting somebody. You're going to ruin them probably for life, if not for a long time, years. Financially, emotionally, it's a serious decision. one not to be taken lightly. Well, with this kind of a serious situation, there are two countries in the world that I know of, Liberia and the United States, that have what's called a grand jury system. This is a tool that the prosecutor can turn to. It is a legal body empowered to conduct official proceedings to investigate potential criminal conduct and to determine whether criminal charges should be brought. A grand jury may compel the production of documents, may compel sworn testimony of witnesses. It's made up of citizens, 24 to 30 citizens. This is something that should have gone to a grand jury, just like Clinton. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, bringing you truth and pointing out the lies. And we believe in justice and equal protection under the law, which is kind of what this has turned into between segment two and segment three. Segment three is brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com. If you need to get away, you need to get away and get down by the St. Mary's, Idaho, St. Joe River. Beautiful little places right there on the river. If you're in the area looking for property, you need a roof over your head, this is a Patreon-owned business, riverfrontsuites.com, to learn more. My email address is johnjacob@radioforreadout.com. That's our website as well. And we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/radiofreeredout. And we are going to be posting something there. If it's not there already, I put a message in to our faithful, awesome, super patriot assistant, Polly01, to get this listed up there, because several of you guys have asked about voting. Who do I vote for? This is, I'm going to get on my soapbox here about voting. You guys cannot sit on your duffs and wait until the general elections in November, go and vote for the Republican and pat yourself on the back like you've done your civic duty if you have not voted in the primaries. The left has a very powerful and effective strategy, and that is to pour all of their money, lobbying money and everything else, into the primaries to get a left-wing Republican in name only, Rhino, Republican, to go up against a Democrat. So you naturally will vote for a Republican. You feel like you've done your job, but you haven't. You neglected your duties because you didn't vote in Washington. The primaries are in August, coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And I want to give you guys a chance. I'm going to arm you with some information. I have one in particular. Of course, you guys know to vote for Steve McLaughlin for Public Lands Commissioner. That is a very strategic position. And he's a patriot, Steve McLaughlin. You go to mac4lands.com, like the number four, mac4lands, M-A-C. For. But there's a voter guide here that Representative Matt Shea puts on put out. Matt's take on elections. You can just do an internet search on that. Go to voteshea.com and click on Matt's take on elections. That will take you to a voting page, very key and critical elections across the state of Washington, where you need to get engaged in the primaries. I mean, in the, the primaries. So that you can get a conservative Republican, not a left-wing Republican, to go up against whoever the left is putting up in November. Now, I'm not a big flag-waving, banner-waving Republican guy. What I'm talking about is these people who know that you are going to most likely vote Republican because it is the closest thing to conservative values, going up against those who have obviously embraced the communist platform, and that's the Democrat Party, right? So anybody but the Democrat, I cannot tell you that I do not believe there are conservative Democrats. I don't buy it. And even if there were, why would you vote for someone who has aligned themselves with a party that has adopted the communist platform, which has vowed to destroy America? That's what the Democrat Party has embraced. I mean, I don't care if it's a Constitution Party or independent or whatever it is, or Republican. You should vote for the candidate, but a candidate who is going to say, I'm a Democrat, but I'm conservative and I go for your, you cannot be. You cannot say, I'm a member of the Communist Party USA, but I'm a conservative communist. I'm pro-gun, so vote for me. Anyway, there's some great resources over there at voteshea.com, Matt's take on elections. You know, another way that you can find out who to vote for? Go to Progressive Voter Guide, the Progressive Voter Guide. They're going to tell you who you should be voting for. And the Republicans that they have going up against the conservative, you know, Republican that's your legislator, whoever the Progressive Voter Guide says you need to vote for, you know that's the adversary. You know to vote for the other guy. It's pretty simple formula, actually. It's very effective. Remember the persecuted Christians in your prayers. This month, we are donating equally between two ministries, the Underground Project. which is the thumb drive that we sell through the American Redoubt Gear Store for a situation where you must go around covert communications, anonymous tools, and the mechanics of actually going underground and using safe houses, which we're going to expand on that. That thumb drive is available for $15 through the American Redoubt Gear Store. During the month of July, we are taking all of the proceeds from that, and we are donating that to two ministries, rescuechristians.org and persecution.com, which is the Voice of the Martyrs, Voices of the Martyrs, specifically their covert operations. These two ministries, Voices of the Martyrs, Covert Operations, and rescuechristians.org, work with the Christian underground where Christianity and the church is illegal. Unsanctioned church membership, or sometimes being a Christian at all, can get you arrested or killed. These guys are working with those underground churches in those very dangerous areas, and so that's a very worthwhile outreach and ministry for us to support. We're going to be doing that because what we're talking about, a future potential one day maybe could happen in America, here's how to equip for that. There are people that are really living that right now, today, who are underground, running for their lives, and are being smuggled out, or Christian women being purchased, bought on these markets, who've been forced into prostitution. They're actually smuggling people out of these areas and smuggling Bibles in and radios, supporting the underground church. So very worthwhile. Now, I want to talk real quick about Joe Robertson, the 77-year-old veteran. Disabled veteran, was convicted last week, 18 months in prison. Somebody said, you know, you seem pretty upset about that. You think? Yes, I was upset about that because it is unjust. Now, someone brought this argument up. Look, it might not be right. You might not agree with it, but you got to understand those are the rules. And if you go against the rules, you know that there's consequences. And, hey, he went against the rules. He bucked the system, and he wanted to fight him on it and, resist the system, and this is the kind of consequences. Hold on a minute. If you think that we're not talking about you disagree that this speed limit should be 35, because this ridiculous open stretch, it should be 55 here. So you go 55, knowing the speed limit is posted 35, and you get pulled over, you can expect to get a ticket. You might not like it. It might not be wrong. They actually probably should change that speed limit there on that section of road, but you know it says 35, so if you go 55, you could very likely get a ticket. Count on it. Now, that would be, if that was the case here, that would be one thing. But he had permits to build the ponds and the bridge, and they stopped him when he was almost complete and said, we want another $5,000 engineering fee assessment. They started messing with them. They want this land. It's interesting, too. I have another study here that's starting to show how much, uranium deposits in this area. Basin, Montana has various owners. So we're looking into this as well. But they stopped him, and he had permits. Now, they didn't bust him for building bridges and ponds and going against their wishes. They convicted him for damaging U.S. property and waters and contaminating the waters. That's what they convicted him for. He wasn't going against the system. You've breached the U.S. waters, navigable waters, and that's a violation of our environmental EPA rules. That's a felony. That's what he went to prison for. And two independent studies that they refused to allow to be admitted as evidence clearly show that he not only damaged and breached U.S. waters, he actually didn't breach the waters, and he improved
the ecosystem, the opposite of what the government was claiming. They're saying he damaged the ecosystem. And they're saying, no, actually, it was the opposite. He improved the ecosystem in that area, and he did not breach or leach any contaminants into any U.S. water supply. And the one stream that they're claiming that he did doesn't even fall within the jurisdiction of the EPA. So this is a tool. This isn't, hey, you knew the rules, you go up against them, you pay the consequences. This is not, that's not what happened here. And why couldn't we say, look, he didn't intend to break the law? I mean, it works for agents, law enforcement officers, or Secretary of State. It was highly illegal, broke the law, but she didn't intend to break the law. She didn't realize she was breaking the law. Like, that works for everybody but the average citizen. He didn't intend to break the law, period. You think he really intended to contaminate waters? Which he didn't contaminate the waters, but there was not even the intent there. That's not going to work for you and me, the citizens. That only works for government agents, like the DHS agents that, or the EPA, who dumped those contaminants into the Colorado River, or the DHS, or the BLM, who catch hundreds of acres on fire, but they didn't intend to. But we'll send the Hammonds to prison. It's just, here's the problem, is that we don't have equal justice applied to all parties. This is a legitimate grievance. When you do not have equal protection under the law, you're not following a system that is uniquely and inherently American and American constitutional. It's injustice. Now, there's something that I want to spend a few minutes with you guys sharing. I hope I can get through it. There's a tactical trainer by the name of Gabe Suarez. He's very well known. And he said, take this article, spread it around, share it. So that's what I'm going to do. But I want to give full credit here. Gabe Suarez, and this is the article we're going to link to in our highlights and resources posting, and I'll put it on Facebook. The title of it is We Live in a Time of War. And this is reposted from an article that he posted in January of this year. But I think it's really important that we understand where we are. And I've ran into a few people that said, I don't read. I'll listen to the podcast, I'll listen to the show, but yeah, you send me stuff or you post stuff, I don't read. Let me tell you something. If you are a patriot and you are in the fight for liberty and you don't read, first of all, that is not something to boast about. That's something that you should be embarrassed about. If you don't read, you better start reading. We cannot afford to have patriots illiterate today. And you need to be continuously reading, learning, and researching. And if you don't read anything else, do you not read the Bible either? Because you better have your nose in that as well. But I will read this for those of you who have a hard time getting to things that need to be read, but do like to listen to the audio. So here we are. Being prepared in a dangerous world. Please take the time to read and digest. Please share it with others. Okay, that's what we're going to do. This is good advice. Understand that we're at war. This is tactical advice. Living in a dangerous world. Start thinking differently, tactical mindset. So, in the next 10 minutes, we'll see how far I can get. Never sit with your back to the door. This is good situational awareness, right? We're going to start talking about situational awareness. Always know where two exits are. If you can carry, always carry. When you do carry, we're talking about a concealed firearm. And I emphasize concealed, because you lose the initiative and the tactical advantage when you're openly carrying, because that stands out. And if ISIS or anybody else wants to roll into a restaurant and start leveling people, that open carry gun is going to stand out. And guess who target number one is going to be? Okay, so you have a tactical advantage when you carry concealed. That's why I highly recommend that. I love open carry. I love seeing it. I think it's great. But for the tactical advantage, I carry concealed. Unless I'm at a Patriot event or, you know, something like that. Or out in the woods. When you carry, always carry at least one extra magazine. Get a good tactical flashlight, no bigger than your spare magazine, and carry that too, at least at night. If you fly commercial, put a roll of quarters and one heavy sock in your carry-on. After going through security, go in a stall in the bathroom and put the roll of coins in the sock. If things go really bad on board and you choose to engage, you can do some serious damage with that combo. So much for a relaxing retirement. Events which are bad are accelerated around the world, and the U.S. is likely to experience an event. These may or may not be useful, but should at least be read and understood. So let's go through active shooter and terrorist attacks. Reports about the Bataclan concert hall attack in Paris are seeping out. Almost 100 people were murdered, with several hundred wounded in this venue alone. Multiple simultaneous attacks took place across the city during that event. Witnesses and survivors describe the incident and give us insights that we can turn into lessons learned for our own professional and personal preparation. Understanding how the shooters operate and what the victims and potential victims did is helpful in planning our own responses to this type of situation. Lesson: initial gunfire, initial stage. Many describe being confused by the first rounds being fired, thinking it was part of the pyrotechnics for the show. When they realized it might be gunfire, the crowd separated into two groups, runners and duckers. Those who immediately fled without the thought of where or what they were doing tended to be shot down. Those who immediately went to the ground and then sought to escape when it was safer, to move, had a better chance of surviving. Now, his analysis here: there's nothing we can do about our initial confusion when something surprising occurs. Everyone, every time, is confused by the unexpected. Our mammalian construct causes us to do what every mammal does. We freeze, turning our heads and sometimes our bodies in the perceived direction of the possible threat. Freezing is natural, and sometimes that happens instinctually. That said, we can help minimize that freeze pre-event by leaving open even the possibility that something bad could possibly happen, and that bad something could include gunfire, explosion, fire, earthquake, tornado, personal assault, armed robbery. So knowing or expecting that someday something bad could happen, you will likely be able to orient more quickly than someone who wants to believe all will always be well, and if I leave them alone and have good feelings about them, they'll leave me alone. Life intrudes upon happy thoughts, so it's better to stay balanced. Fleeing danger or fleeing may not be the best option, or fleeing danger for the sake of fleeing may not be the best. Just like running in circles won't increase your chances of survival, running in a straight line away from a shooter just creates a minor marksmanship problem that can be solved by firing a few more rounds. So the counter to that: once you've oriented and put the sounds you're hearing into context, you will need to take action. Flee. Fleeing must be purposeful. If you are out of sight or of the shooter and can exit, then do so. If you have the choice between fleeing within his line of sight or taking a few steps out, something that hides you from his vision before fleeing away, that might be a good choice. Get small. If there is gunfire anywhere near you, making yourself the smallest target possible is smart. Get small. Get on the ground. Drop. Stay small until you can figure out what the actual threat is and how you might safely react. Eyes open, head on a swivel, brain engaged. Unless playing dead is your only option, closing your eyes, while is a natural reaction to danger, must be resisted. Only if you can see, then you can respond meaningfully. Something to keep in mind: this happens And also, people stop breathing. They close their eyes and they stop breathing, and you don't realize you're doing it. Move from corner to corner, whether you're fighting toward or away a threat. Corners become your best friend. A corner is anything that hides you from being observed or protects you from bullets. Now, there are several here. Hits are the only solution to your problem. Shooting without hitting is not. So, we're talking tactics here. What if you find yourself in an active shooter type of situation? I'm passing on some lessons here, and I'm only going to be able to get through part of this, but I want to let you know what's in this article so you can read the whole thing for yourself. Three slower, sure hits are better every time than magazine full of really fast misses. Take your time. Hit him. If you are not presently the target, take your time. Use your sights. Stabilize your weapon with your barricade, a pole, post, corner, and fire methodically at the shooter. This is a slow fire marksmanship problem. Our fear degrades our abilities. Here's another problem. When reality meets our unrealistic expectations, think about the worst day at the range you've had in the last 10 years. Then multiply that by at least a factor of 10, maybe 20. When faced with reacting to existential threat, our emotion reaction creates a physical response that lessens our ability to skillfully respond. If there is a shooter covering the primary shooter, or they're taking turns, shoot the cover shooter first. Does that make sense? You got one guy shooting and one guy providing security for him. The guy providing security for the primary shooter is the one you take out. Take advantage of a reload. Wait until the shooter needs to reload. Shoot the cover shooter, and then shoot the reloading shooter. Consider this. While some will be injured or murdered while you wait for a break in the action, multiple sure hits on the shooters will likely end the carnage. There are multiple examples here that I have of good people with guns stopping a bad man with a gun. And this is becoming common enough. We need to start thinking about these kind of things. There is a resource that I mandate people that have operated with in the past that you read. It is called On Combat. It is a doctorate thesis that was written by Colonel Dave Grossman. If you are law enforcement, if you are in the military, or if you're an operator of any sort, and you're working in high-risk situations, the book On Combat talks about what happens to you physically, emotionally, and physiologically when you're faced with very high intensity stress situations, such as combat, when your life's in danger. It is also very useful for first responders, firefighters, EMTs, who could be going into a very high intensity situation. It helps you manage all those things, physiological, emotional, physical, all of these things that are happening to you, that chemical cocktail that your brain and body and glands dump into your bloodstream that literally will affect your hearing, your vision, your breathing, fine motor skills, will help you overcome that. On Combat by Colonel Dave Grossman. We'll talk about some more of this stuff, but I just wanted to share that with you. So join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast at RadioFreeReadout.com. And you have a blessed weekend. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless.